is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. We are continuing with our series on 2023 elections. We've had several presidential aspirants on Nigeria Info, from Peter Obi to Bukola Saraki to Chukwuka Moye to, I mean, the list is growing by the day. And this week we'll have series of aspirants again on our various shows here on Nigeria Info across all parties. Like every party, if you like, would eventually get on here on Nigeria Info. Same goes for next week and the week after. We would continue to make sure that we bring these would-be leaders to you who are vying for your vote. We'll bring them closer to you so you can interact with them. That's the idea here on Nigeria Info towards the 2023 election, because we want you to make an informed decision by the time you pick up that your paper called voter's card to go cast your ballot next year. Welcome to the Morning Crossfire. We're streaming live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's how you can watch Nigeria Info 99.3, because we are audiovisual. You can see the magnificent audiovisual studios that we've got for you here on the platform. Feel free to also listen live via our website, nigeriainfo.fm. Nigeriainfo.fm, or just download our mobile app, Nigeria Info FM, from Google Play Store and Apple App Store. Now, let's begin our conversation today. Now, we are going to start. If you're watching, I let me have you know that you can drop your comment on Facebook and on YouTube as we go along on the show today. Today, we're having a guest who is not strange to us all, especially those in the media profession. He's a media mogul. He's a CEO of Roots Television Nigeria, an NGO dedicated to telling human angle stories that directly affect Nigerians. He's also the CEO of Accelerator Buildings and Kachiku Farms. That means he's into businesses himself, and he loves advocacy by himself. I'm talking about Dumebi Kachiku. He is the presidential aspirant under the platform of African Democratic Congress, ADC. And he joins us right now on the show this morning. Good morning to you, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here on the show. Now, let me quickly say something here, that we are not going to be doing any campaigning whatsoever. The platform this morning is basically for us to have an interaction with our guests. So if you're calling, or if you're a lover of the guests, if you're a supporter, this is not the platform to call in and start campaigning. Campaign has not started. So let us be guided as we move along on the show today. So quickly, let's have you know that today is World Malaria Day, by the way. So try as much as possible to clean and clear your environment. You know that we're gradually entering the rainy season. It's very important that you do that so we can protect lives and property. Quite a number of Nigerians are dying due to malaria. It's avoidable, yes, but this is what we have right now. So let's start with that. Try and protect yourself. Sleep under mosquito-treated nets. Or see a doctor if you feel funny. Don't self-medicate. All right, now let's move on. About 40 days to the conclusion of primaries for the 2023 presidential 2023 elections, I should say, by political parties. List of presidential aspirants keeps growing. The list keeps growing daily, with more declarations being announced. I'm going to go straight to my guest, who is Dumebi Kachiku, a media mogul, the owner of Roots Television. He joined the race some weeks ago, earlier this month, as a matter of fact, April 6th. The younger brother of former minister, petroleum minister, Dr. Ibe Kachiku, declared his intention to run for the highest office in the land on the platform of the African Democratic Congress. Dumebi Kachiku is 48 years of age, and he, during a virtual broadcast, declared his intention to run for the office of the president of the republic. He also gave reasons, about 20 of them, for wanting to preside over the affairs of Nigerians come 2023. According to him, let me quote him. He said, "No longer will we engage based on Hausa, Igbo, and Yoruba, or North and South, but on the basis of Nigeria, our only fatherland. We will resist all those who make religion and tribe their mantra. It will no longer be business as usual. We will zone out all proponents of zoning and ushering a new Nigeria that promotes merit, character, and somehow and know-how rather above primordial sentiment." End quote. Dumebi Kachukwu, let's begin with your comments. Are you living in self-denial by saying that you're going to relegate the sentiment of tribe, religion, North, South? Is that not a statement of denial? Is that not what we or who we are as a people? Or do you strongly believe that this can be altered?
So that's who we have been. That's who we are right now. We don't have to always remain this way. Change is a constant force and change must happen. These traits of Nigeria, this characteristic of Nigeria, tribe, religion, tongue, is what has destroyed Nigeria. Our colonial masters handed over a company, the Royal Niger Company, to us, which transformed into Nigeria on the basis of tribe, tongue, and religion.
Mm.
And of course, we were designed to implode, and implode we have. So if you use tribe, tongue, and religion, you sacrifice meritocracy, you sacrifice competency on the altar of tribe, tongue, and religion, which is what we have been doing. Should we continue this way? Absolutely not. We can see the management of our affairs in Nigeria, what's been going on, because we choose to bring on people based on where they come from, their language, their religion, and they are not necessarily the best. Okay, so we definitely need to move away from this.
Mm. Let's talk unemployment. We are not really doing well in terms of unemployment, especially for the youth. Nigeria has a very, very youthful population. What can be done to create jobs? What are the ways and channels through which more jobs can be created in this country, especially for the teen youths who are struggling at the moment?
It's very simple. We need a leadership that understands what the language of today is speaking. Governments all over the world are investing in their citizenry. In Nigeria, we don't invest in people. We keep on investing and announcing every week at the FEC contracts are awarded for roads and build bridges and this and that. And we never announce any contract or say anything concerning the people. We need to start investing in people. One of the first things I would like to do is to put in at least 200 billion naira into training and retraining our civil service, into training youths, short form skill sets, okay, workshops that train these people for skill sets that enable them adjust to Nigeria and the world of today. We say Nigeria is an agrarian society, but we don't seem to understand that agriculture has now turned to agribusiness, or farming is now agribusiness. We need to have farm parks everywhere. We need to have technology parks everywhere. We need to have these things because they're an aggregator of services that help people. So you want to start a business today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest challenge you have is capital. How does government help you? Government will help you by putting in place a collective scheme that helps all those. Say you want to be, you are in the area of agri-processing. Mm-hmm. Government puts in place an agro-processing pack. So everything, all the ancillary services that you require to start that business is domiciled within that pack. It helps you start your business. Now, if the middle class can be activated, right? Yeah. If the middle class is working, small businesses are working, mm-hmm. you are then creating employment. But we seem to believe in Nigeria that government should be the chief employer of labor.
Mm.
And that's wrong. Government is failing in that regard. So we need to activate the middle class. We need to activate small businesses to start working again so that they start employing labor.
Mm.
That's failing here.
How do you activate the middle class? What are the things that the government should do in order to have the middle class? Because it's been said that we don't have middle class, but you seem to believe that we do have middle class. It's just that we've not been able to activate them.
I didn't say we have a middle class. We've wiped out the Nigerian middle class.
Okay.
Activating them means bringing back, creating a middle class. How do you do that? We need to cut out, reduce taxes. If you look at what's happening with our ports today, we have some of the highest taxes in or duties in importing goods. That's where a lot of young people are trying to import goods to sell and all those things, right? But we keep on raising duties every day. And as we raise duties with the exchange regime, we wipe away all those who are in those businesses. Mm. We need to get our power sector working. Look at the person who wants to provide a saloon business or a business center, and you have no light. We need to get power working for this to work. We need to get security working. We can talk about farm services all we want, but as long as our farms are not secure, we won't have those services. Every single thing in Nigeria is interconnected, and everything in Nigeria is failing. We need to get all these things working so that we are now able to start creating jobs once again.
I want to talk to you about the two things you mentioned, power and security. But before then, let's draw more on the economy right now. Our economy is in double-digit inflation rate, which is quite scary, 15.70%. How should a government or incoming government deal with this?
Run Nigeria like a business. Invest in the Nigerian people. Let the Nigerian people that you've invested in start bringing out outputs, products and services that we can sell within our people or outside the world. Once we start doing that, once you start increasing productivity, this reduces the inflation. But as long as we are not productive, we are going to see this get worse. Okay? We need to start investing in the Nigerian people. We've heard in the last 3 years all the monies that have been said to have been they've put in different sectors to support farming schemes to do this, do that. But if that were, if they really did that, you will have seen the results right now. But we don't see the result because these monies are not getting to the people. Imagine if you are training youths. If you train 1 million youths in farming skill sets. Imagine the multiplier effect of that in the economy. Imagine all the people, you're arresting around 900 people every week because of Yahoo, right? Imagine if those people were to be trained in digital commerce. Imagine what you will see. Look at India, for example. India is exporting digital commerce all over the world. They don't have oil. They're exporting digital commerce all over the world. We're an English-speaking nation. We can export architectural services. We can export accounting services. We can export HR services. We can export engineering services. There's nothing we can't export digitally right now.
Right.
Tell you what, right? A government that seems to think that all you are doing is roads, which I am not saying they should not do, or borrowing money to do roads and bridges that lead nowhere, does not understand that the internet is the highway of the future of this generation. How are you going to provide a backbone and infrastructure for the youths to leverage to provide these services to the world?
Indeed. Now let's double down on another critical factor that you mentioned earlier, and that's power. I'm trying to speed things up so we can open up the telephone lines for Lagos to get to talk to you. Let's talk about power. What do you think we're getting wrong in our drive, in our struggle to generate power and to make that generated power available at the homes of Nigerians? What do you think we're doing wrong, and how can we get it right?
Okay, we privatize power too fast. We privatize power at a point where we have not achieved critical mass in providing power infrastructure to the whole of Nigeria, right? Less than 30% of Nigeria has access to power. So we privatize very, very fast, and those people who've sold these critical assets to don't have the capacity to then build on that infrastructure. That's one. Number two, we need to adopt the telco model. What have the telcos done, right? The telcos, they gave them telecom licenses, and what have they done? They are there in distribution, in generation. They are taking services across Nigeria, building huge trunks, building in-state capacity also. But in Nigeria, what the power sector is doing here, they are just holding on to the capacity that they got. Most of them are not increasing that capacity. So we need to let the federal government handle transmission, right? States, federal government handles transmission. Federal government handles critical or strategic generation.
Okay.
States should handle generation and also in-state distribution in partnership with private sector partners, right? Mm. If you do this, you now find that all stakeholders are now doing something towards generating power and distributing power.
Okay.
So you don't have situations where you say, oh, we have trapped capacity somewhere, 400 megawatts has been built somewhere, and you have no means of transmitting that or distributing that. Every sector has got to be involved, even down to local government level, doing something about this. So everyone has a role to play.
Right.
If you do this, you'll now find a situation where in a state, for example, you have, if the state government controls distribution, you have six players who are in generation in that state, and the state government is mainly distributing, is now up to the buyer, to the consumer, to determine who offers the best services to him.
So
and he chooses who he wants to, buy.
In a nutshell, you're saying that states should handle generation and distribution, while the central government, the federal government, handles transmission, correct?
Federal government should handle transmission and transmission, interstate transmission and strategic generation.
Okay.
States should also handle strategic generation and in-state distribution, while private sector partners should handle generation within the states.
Hmm.
Now, why do I say that states should handle distribution within the states? Because you find that if you have a situation where private sector parties handle distribution right now, like what's going on right now, you will find that the poor, the commoners, are affected.
Right?
Because they will not do all it takes to ensure that power gets to these people, which is why you have to have federal government or state governments involved in providing last mile services so that everyone gets these services.
Right, indeed. Now, before we head out to our first break, I think we can quickly squeeze in a call if we have that time. I'm not sure. But let's see if we can squeeze in a call because we have a break very close. 01465-7190 is our studio line. Joining us via Skype this morning, if you can watch on Facebook and YouTube, you will see my guest. He's, of course, the Mebi Kachukwu, presidential aspirant on the platform of the ADC, African Democratic Congress. If you've got a question for him, please drop it in very quickly so he can answer your question. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharon.
Yes, please, good morning. Quickly.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum.
Welcome.
I want to ask Mr. Kachukwu, what would government that will be coming in, what would they do differently to cushion the effects of these economic challenges? Thank you. And
thank
God bless Nigeria.
You too. Mr. Demebi, go on, please.
I will invest in Nigerians. That's the first thing I will do.
You know that's very ambiguous. Like, what are you investing
specific? How will I invest in Nigerians?
Yes.
Chef, let me tell you how I will invest in Nigerians, right?
Yeah.
I will give the Nigerians the skill sets, the tools they need to operate in the current world. You find that we talk of unemployment, underemployment, right? Now, do we really have the skill sets to navigate the global economy in which we reside today? Do we have those skill sets? Which is why you see developed nations keep on retraining their people, retooling their people. We need to invest in Nigerians. We need to start cutting down taxes, reducing duties. We need to start putting money in training people so that people have the skills. We need to retrain our teachers. All our teachers need to be retrained. We need to retrain our engineers. We need to retrain everyone across the board.
You know, we're going to come back to this, but our break is upon us right now. We'll take this short break, and we'll be right back with you, Demebi Kachukwu. Stay here, Lagos. We'll be right back. I hear there is a conversation of consensus going on in your party as well.
No, that's not true. ADC has no consensus conversation going on whatsoever. ADC as a party has thrown open the party to all Nigerians. ADC saying women, children, people with disabilities, free. It's free for them to contest. So we are expecting that more people will join ADC to contest. Okay. ADC is the only party that has done this. ADC also, as a party with integrity, ADC is also encouraging ADC might likely go the route of direct primaries or indirect primaries, but no such conversation or consensus going on at this time. No such thing.
Indeed. Now let's talk security, if you like, insecurity.
Sheriff, if you don't mind,
yes, please.
The last caller talked about what we'll do about the economy, and I remember you saying that what I said was ambiguous. Actually,
yes.
I wanted to just drill down on that, if you don't mind.
No,
right?
That's fine. Please go on.
Okay, so you do understand that the price of a bag of rice has gone from 10,000 to about 26,000 naira, right? Cement has gone from 1,800 to 4,500 naira. It's dropped to 4,000 naira now. Kerosene, PMS diesel, all gone from 87 to 165, 700 or 415 naira. Right? This affects the Nigerian people. The standard of living of Nigerian people has been completely eroded. Minimum wage is 30,000 naira. This is why it is important to invest in Nigerian people. We have multi-sectorial failure. Minimum wage should be nothing less than 150,000 naira. We need to have social services. Imagine it at a time like this. We don't have intrastate buses, mass transit buses working efficiently in all the states. We don't have train services working efficiently in all the states. I heard you earlier talking about Lagos launching their scheme next year. A situation where we've had everything, the price of everything go up, and government is not providing social services to cushion the effect of this in the lives of the people makes no sense. We have to have a coordinated strategy towards addressing the multi-sectorial failures in the country. We discuss power. Agriculture, we have to take agriculture not from the public sector approach, which comes from Abuja.
Right.
It has to go from bottom up, which is demand driven by the farmers. Start planning from local government level. We need to take education, for example, that has failed. Look at ASUU is still on strike. How do you have a situation where where the world is a global village, right? Where Nigerian education is still operated in an analog manner? E-learning should be the order of the day. Why can't we do this? In Nigeria, you are aware that a broadband service in Nigeria is about the most expensive in the world. Broadband is a right in the world of today. It's not an option. It's not a luxury. It should be a right to everyone. Communication services should be a right to everyone, but Nigeria is about the most expensive in the world today. And you ask why should we invest in Nigerian people, or how do we invest in Nigerian people? We need to cushion the cost of all these services to the people. My first communication with the National Assembly, if I'm sworn in as president, will be this. Something I call the Nigerian Patriot Act. It's an act that simply says that we are all in this together. So if you are a public servant or a civil servant, right? It means no borehole in your house. If the masses don't have water, you don't have water. No generators in your house. If the masses don't have light, you don't have light. No policemen guarding you. If the masses don't have security, you don't have security. No using of light. Use our roads so you know the dilapidated state of our roads. No foreign education for your kids. If the masses use those public schools, your kids, your family, they should use those schools. No foreign hospitals. Use the public hospitals. Now, if we all use the same services, we'll have a coordinated approach towards ensuring that those services work for everyone.
Mr. Gachiku, don't you think all these things you're saying sounds quite draconian? I mean, if I have my money and I can afford to get private security, or I can afford to go treat myself abroad, why should any president stop me?
Remember what I said is I'm addressing public servants.
Yes, I'm speaking as a public servant.
There's no public servant that can afford foreign medical care. There's no public servant that can afford foreign education.
You don't think that's really flawed? You don't think so?
That's what I'm saying. If we look at our salary scale today, there's not one foreign, not one public servant who can afford this. How do they afford this? We need to understand that we all have to share equitably in the sufferings of Nigerians. If we continue a situation where only the masses, only the poor people continue to bear the brunt of Nigeria's failure, you will get one day a revolution that the world has not seen before. One day, Sheriff, you see how you're looking. You look nice. You're looking good. You look like you're well fed. You'll be going to work one day. Someone will eat you just because you look good.
No, I just wanna pick you up on the things that you reeled out about the Patriot Act, and I still wanna drill down on the public servants not going for medical treatment abroad or not having access to some things because the masses don't have access to it. And I really want to challenge the notion of the fact that public servants can't. You know, I mean, you use the word can't afford medical treatment abroad. I think that argument is flawed, Mr. Kachiku. I really think that it'll be a bit draconian.
Okay, so tell you what, right?
Yeah.
A public servant in Nigeria, what's the salary of Nigeria's president, for example, right? The Nigerian president, let's say, assume a given year ends about 12 million naira, right? Ends about 12 million naira in a given year. Do you think it's morally right, first of all, for the Nigerian president to be treated overseas in a country of 200 million people in a country called Nigeria? That's number one. Number two, if you as a Nigerian president earn an average of 14 to, let's say, 18 million naira, and you stay 3 months in a foreign hospital, how has that been funded? Now, let's leave the Nigerian president. Let's go for the civil servant who is earning, let's say, 300,000, 400,000. How much is a ticket today to travel outside this country?
So, my, you know, reason I'm really particular about this is because I have been in the civil service before, and I have had colleagues, you know, who could afford it. I know what they earn isn't much, but then their husband or their relative could afford it for them on their behalf. Are you still saying that you're going to stop such people from traveling out to go get
what
medical
I'm
care?
What I'm saying is that it's important that all Nigerians share equitably in our frustrations, in
Mr.
our
Kachiku,
sufferings.
Let's move on. Let's move on very quickly. Let's talk corruption. What is your plan to tackle corruption?
Corruption is a foundational issue in Nigeria. It boils down to what I was just saying right now. So you have a situation where minimum wage is 30,000 and a bag of rice is 26,000.
Right.
Has that not created corruption?
How? Please break that down, Mr. Kachiga.
So, someone who earns 36,000 naira, right, month, right?
Yeah.
And a bag of rice, which is a staple food in Nigeria, is 26,000 naira.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of transport to work every month is above 50,000 naira. There's rent there, right? There's school fees there. There's uniform for kids. There's every other cost that he has to deal with every month. And minimum wage is 6,000 naira. Please ask me, where does he augment from?
I need to bring you back in here, Mr. Kachiku. We need to continue this conversation, but my time will not permit me on the show today. So we're going to leave it here. We have not finished our talk. We need to come back and do this. We need to do this again. thank you so much for joining us on the Crossfire today. We really appreciate your presence.
All
thank
right,
you.
Sheriff. Nice talking to you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Lagos, that's our show today. I've been speaking with Dumebi Kachiku, one of the presidential aspirants on the platform of the African Democratic Congress, ADC. Hopefully, we'll get him back on the show sometime in the future to have further conversation with him. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can find me on social media at Sheriff Quadri, on Twitter at Sheriff Quadri, on Instagram. But for now, Mr. Brown is here and he got some message for us.
Commercial.
Hey, it's your deals plug, and as you
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.